What should people of Catholic faith turn to the Pope for? Teaching of God's Word? Guideposts for their foundation of faith? How about lessons in sharing love and showing patience? Or maybe greenhouse gas levels and carbon footprints? Those are among the ideas Pope Francis recently addressed via a Vatican statement about so-called global warming. Here to share his analysis of the Pope's comments and belief about the climate and man's influence on it is the Executive Director of the International Climate Science Coalition. He's also a contributor with PJ Media, Tom Harris. Good morning, Tom.
Yeah, hi, Chris.
And the website for the International Climate Science Coalition is climatescienceinternational.org. Learn more about this issue and their work overall. So the Pope is concerned about the environment and man's influence over it, which, you know, according to the Bible, the Old Testament, man has domain over all that crawls, that swims, that flies, and that grows. So, okay, he's got a foundation for that, I guess. But in his letter on care for a common home, what foundational beliefs did the Pope communicate that misses the mark?
Yeah, he misses the mark because he takes unquestioned belief of Al Gore and the IPCC and the UN. He's not looking at the whole issue. He's not recognizing that climate science is probably the least mature and most difficult science we've ever tackled. I mean, we don't really even know if it's going to warm or cool over the next 20 years. When I ask scientists behind closed doors when they're not being cited by the media, will it be hotter or colder in 20 years? They say, ask me in 20 years. They don't know. And I mean, that's not surprising because they can't forecast next week's weather properly. So, you know, trying to forecast climate for 50 years in the future, it's really just something we can't do yet.
It seems like, too, when it comes to global warming, which I still insist on calling it because that was how it was branded at the beginning. I don't care if, you know, they want to realize that, well, we can sort of fudge it by saying, well, it's getting colder, too, so let's call it climate change. But, my basic idea of science is a scientific finding is an absolute. How can a consensus be a fact?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, science is not decided by a show of hands. You know, I've been interviewed in the past where people say, well, everybody says it. Oh, yeah, that sounds very scientific. I mean, if that were the case, we'd still believe the Earth was flat and, you know, the Earth was the center of the universe. The fact that everyone believes something or a lot of people believe it in no way proves anything. What you really have to do in the case of climate is look to the past and see what happened when CO2 levels were very high and did temperature follow CO2. And we can go back as much as a half a billion years into the past. Beyond that, we can't go because there weren't any good fossils, because that's about when hard-shelled sea creatures evolved. But if we actually analyze the fossils of those shells, we can see pretty well what carbon dioxide has been doing and what temperature has been doing. And, you know, it's interesting because at times in the past, carbon dioxide was not a measly 40% higher, as it's risen in the last 100 years. It was 1,300% higher at around 440 million years ago. And at that time, the Earth was stuck in the coldest period that it's had in the last half billion years. At other times when CO2 was high, it was just moderate. Other times it was warm. So there's really no record in the geologic record in that sort of time frame that indicates that carbon dioxide is anything other than plant food.
Talking with Tom Harris, who's the executive director of the International Climate Science Coalition, climatescienceinternational.org, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. The Pope and the Catholic Church, one of their tenets is to always help the poor, keep them safe, bring security and bring some sort of prosperity to them. But when you look at all of what Pope Francis writes about, the cutting carbon emissions, reducing fossil fuel, developing renewables, that's not cheap.
No, and in fact, it's not cheap even for a wealthy country like the United States. I mean, if you take coal, for example, if you take the electricity from a coal station, it costs about 4 cents at the bus bar, which is where it comes out of the power station. You know, it costs about 22 cents for wind and solar. So while the United States can absorb that kind of cost, I guess it'll increase your debt somewhat, poor countries simply can't afford it. So, you know, it's really sad when groups from the United States and Europe recently refused a loan to South Africa to build a coal station because they were worried about climate change. So those people are going to be left in poverty, left with no electricity, because we in the West, who use coal, by the way, are worried about the impact of Africans using coal on the climate. And, you know, it's interesting because that particular loan, which was for the Mindupi Power Station in South Africa, it's now underway, That was $3.9 billion, and it was only approved because developing countries overruled. They had enough votes to overrule us in the West. So it's a bit ludicrous and very unfair that we're going to let people suffer today because we might have an impact on climate in 50 years.
Pope is also concerned about life, as any pope should be, but his support for wind turbines doesn't really give a lot of love to the birds, does it?
No. In fact, a group called Save the Eagles International, they're a member of the World Council for Nature. They issued a news release back on the 23rd of May in which they entitled it, "Migrating Golden Eagles to be Slaughtered in Ontario." That's where I'm calling from. You see, the thing is, the golden eagles don't like to cross the Great Lakes because it's too far for them. And so they usually follow along the coast of Lake Ontario, and they cross where the lakes are a junction. But that's exactly where the Ontario government is putting 61-story high wind turbines, okay? And the fear is, of course, this already endangered species will be just wiped out by our attempts to, quote, stop climate change. So, you know, it's really not environmentally friendly to be putting up these big wind turbines, especially in places like that.
And here in New Jersey, if you've never seen a wind turbine, if you take a trip down to Atlantic City, instead of going down the Atlantic City Expressway, go down the Black Horse Turnpike, and you will see a pair of wind turbines still about 2 miles outside of the city. But what you also notice, too, is nothing can be developed around those turbines.
Yeah, they're not nice places to live. I mean,
no.
In Ontario, they're allowed to put them as close as 550 meters from homes. And, you know, that is a real problem. I mean, obviously, it's going to ruin your property value. I drove by the wind turbines in upstate New York a couple of years ago, and they were incredible. They looked like they were right in the backyard. They were 39 stories high, and that was bad enough. But as I say, in Ontario, they're putting up the biggest in North America, 61 stories high. And, you know, it's really sad because there's one case here that I'm working with. Shelly Correa has a son who has a disease which prevents him. It's called sensory processing disorder. And he should be living in places that are free from excessive noise. So they moved out to the quiet countryside of West Lincoln, Ontario, a very beautiful place, kind of like Mayberry. But what they found is that in the government's effort to stop climate change, they're now going to put a 61-story turbine only 550 meters from Shelley's house. And she's appeared before environmental review tribunals. She has science experts and doctors working with her, telling the government, look, this is going to really hurt Joey, her child. But the government says, nope, we're going to have to stop climate change. And you see that all through this, where people are suffering today because of the attempt to stop climate change in the distant future. So it's really a skewed moment. And in that sense, the Pope should be commenting. He should be saying, look, this is crazy. You know, you're really hurting people today. You're drying food prices through the roof because, of course, more and more biofuels are being used. And actually, 6.5% of grain now goes to fuel instead of food. So there's all kinds of things that the Pope could have commented on that have a moral implication. But instead, he just went along with Al Gore.
I've been talking with Tom Harris, who is the Executive Director of the International Climate Science Coalition, climatescienceinternational.org, here on Issues and Ideas. And, you know, certainly the Pope has his ideas, but he has advisors, too. And I was doing a little research. Apparently, the scientific advisor to the Vatican by the name of Hans Schellenhuber, he is a proponent of what's called, I believe it's pronounced the Gaia Principle. And it says that all life interacts with the Earth and the Earth with all life to form a giant self-regulating living system. He seems like more metaphysical and spiritual than science and fact.
Yeah, gobbledygook type spirituality. I mean, the concept of the Gaia Principle is the Earth is a living entity, and that it's not just a hunk of rock with living things on it. The actual Earth itself is alive and has some sort of joint consciousness. You know, this sounds like something out of Harry Potter. I mean, and to actually base real environmental policy costing, get this, $1 billion a day for the climate file, that's what it costs the world. The climate finance total is $359 billion per year. That works out to about $1 billion a day. And 94% of that goes to trying to stop what might happen in the distant future. Only 6% is helping people today. So this Gaia Principle and the climate scare, you know, they're very expensive. It's not just an academic argument.
Well, we've seen the global warmers try to reach for straws. Now they're reaching for God, I guess, with this one. And Pope Francis has spoken. You can find more facts, though, at climatescienceinternational.org. That's the website for the International Climate Science Coalition. We've been joined by their executive director, Tom Harris. Tom, thanks for being here this morning.
Okay, thank you.